Wednesday evening, 9:28:22. We're going to look at trees of righteousness. All right, we're going to begin with Isaiah 61. Verse 1, I'm a little bit loud here, I think, just a little louder than usual. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bruised or bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord, and men shall carry you, call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. All of us are walking through painful situations right now. I've been seeking the Lord for a while now about trying to understand, you know, why. What does all this mean? Because really, I can't say that I've had direct words on why. Maybe a little inkling here and there, but as far as a thus saith the Lord and this is the way it is, you're kind of going, Lord, what gives? All right. Well, this is what he relayed to me this morning, and I'm going to relay it to you. The Lord said, in essence, you're being pruned. Pruned. All right. This is from Yandex. It's a search engine. This is how to prune a tree. Pruning helps trees grow strong and look neat and attractive. See, we're talking about the planting of the Lord. Trees of righteousness. Okay. One prunes a tree to remove damaged branches, allow for new growth, or create a distinctive shape. It's important to do it correctly so you don't end up damaging the tree. I was thinking about Karate Kid and the little bonsai tree. And he gives him one and he said, no, I don't want to mess it up. He said, if it come from inside you, it'll be good, you know. See, God has an image that he has as trees of righteousness. All right. A few weeks ago, we had the lawn service trim our bushes. They trimmed the rose bushes. The rose bushes said, look, kind of just not doing much, and they needed to be pruned. And after that, we had rain, and I mean, they just exploded. They looked beautiful. Now blooms all over them. You know, God's got to trim off the bad stuff. He's got to trim off the branches that are not any good. I'm sure it isn't pleasant for plants or trees or bushes to be cut on, but it is for the good. And it's also the same in our lives. It's good. Okay, we're going to keep going here, and you'll understand more as I progress. Luke chapter 13. Luke I said, Lord, why is it so painful? And I kept thinking, I wonder when they go out there and they cut on those trees, are they in pain? Do they suffer pain? They are living things. I mean, they're not like an animal or anything, but they are alive. They're growing. There's nothing any worse to me than a tree that's been let go. And it's got all these wild branches going everywhere, and it just ruins it. It's stunted. It may be all crooked and messed up looking. Just get that picture in your mind. This is Luke chapter 13, verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Strong's right here. That word, it was two different references. 906 was to throw. And that means in various applications, violent or intense. And then the other was 2874, means manure, which means odor. In other words, it stinks. Ever say that to the Lord? This just stinks. Lord, this stinks. I can't stand it anymore. It stinks. Think about it. The world system has warped our thinking. We have wild thinking patterns because of it, and they are unprofitable for what God has called us to do. We're not going to be able to do His work and be like the world. We can't. This is why it's been so painful. Because the way the Lord has us go is contrary to everything that we've learned in the world. Whether it be from our parents, from the churches we've gone to, the schools we went to, the jobs we've had, the news, the movies. Go over to Romans 11. See if I got everything there. All right. Romans 11. Verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? You know, I said if the tree didn't bear fruit, then he could cut it down. God forbid, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Want ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, and it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, Let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their full fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are their branches. And if some of their branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, that the root thee. That will say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Wild here means O-L-E-A-S-T-R, oleaster, a tree that has been allowed to run wild. Branches there means a broken off twig or a bough. Yeah. Here's a good example of a person that their thinking processes were very detrimental to the kingdom of God. And God had to deal with this person on a few occasions about this. We're going to go to Acts 10. Peter was raised traditional Jewish. We'll just read the whole chapter here. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, and a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. There came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send from thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, he called together his kinsmen and dear friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know not that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company. So he was unlawful as a Jew to even bring him into his house. Then he was unlawful to leave with them and go into a Gentile nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. You know, we have to be careful that we do not get uppity in our position thinking we know so much and somebody else doesn't know anything. If they're willing to hear what the gospel has to say and be changed, Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked though for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting till this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine arms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. See, if we have these kind of mindsets, these religious mindsets, we need to be careful and walk softly. We do. We need to be willing to be able to be a vessel, to be used of God to help whoever. Maybe they don't know anything about the walk of the Spirit. Maybe they're not awake at all and they don't know anything that's going on. But we can't just cut them off and say, they don't know anything. I don't have anything to do with them. No. God sent them to Peter because Peter had the answers that they needed. Right? Isn't that what we are? Aren't we supposed to be light and salt, vessels of the Lord, that we can help people? But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, and he not only oppressed the devil, for God was with him. Jesus did not have any respect of persons who he ministered to. He cast devils out of a prostitute. He ate with publicans and sinners. He went wherever the Lord led him to minister to the people. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, the Jews were looking for Messiah. They're the ones that had the promise of Messiah. And to a lot of the Jews, maybe they thought it was not for anybody else but them. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "How can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Well, right here, chapter 11, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were the circumcision contended with him, saying, "Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them?" But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, and he describes to them what happened. And by the end that he tells them about all the things that happened, it persuades them. All right, Galatians 2. Verse 1 says, "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest any means I should run or had run in vain." He was very careful when he got around the Pharisees, the sect that he had come out of. See, he was sent to the Gentiles. "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which you have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." "To whom we gave place by subjection," no, not for an hour, "that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." I'm telling you, the church today is caught up in all kinds of this kind of stuff. And it's the hardest thing in the world for them to hear, that they can depend on God's medicine, or that they can eat whatever they want. There's nothing clean or unclean. I'm telling you. "But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch," now Peter, he had this vision. "When he was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed." What was wrong with Peter? He had these wild branches, these mindsets. God had already given him a revelation about this. But when he got around the people that believed that way, it swayed him. "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, Thou being a Jew, livest as the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Do you see why God has to prune us? Do you see why God has to get rid of these wild branches, these trains of thought that we've grown up with that are detrimental to His will? For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. God is going to have to be able to trust us that when we get around those that have a heavy religious spirit on them and these issues, that they don't pull you down under, but you stand strong and say, oh no, that's not right. That's not in line with the truth of the gospel. I was hearing somebody talk about, I think it was LT, and we know, they were talking about the cult, that, you know, the pedophiles and all of that. And he was playing a clip of Mel Gibson, and he said, you know, he's Australian. He came over here, and being not from there, he said the influence is so strong it just absolutely consumes you. You have to really watch it. And this is the way they live, and whoever gets in their circle, it completely consumes them and takes them over. But he said, me being an outsider, I could see things that they couldn't, you know, others that had lived in that area or whatever were influenced by that spirit. There are religious spirits too, believe me, that are just as strong and just as bad, just as anti-God, even though they may come in the form and the guise of religion. Just start hanging around with somebody like that, especially if they're really strong. They'll compromise you. Bad communications corrupt good manners. You forget what you know when you hang with these folks. See, we're here to help them, but if we can't help them, then we have to go on down the road. So the Lord said, you know, shake the dust off your feet and go on to whoever if they won't hear that. I know too much to turn back and to, like the dog to the vomit. Know too much to go back to that garbage that I hated all those years and didn't understand why. I didn't like any of it. And I know that we were called names by preachers. We were just rogue and we were just rebellious and rebellious squirrels and all this kind of stuff. No, we hated religion. All right, Peter was brought up in the Jewish tradition. He had to be pruned. You see what happened when he got around his Jew buds. Started acting like a Jew. And Paul's saying, you act like a Gentile when you're with the Gentiles, and now you're acting like a Jew when you're with the Jews. Now you're pulling all these guys off. Even Barnabas, his partner. These wild branches, wild thinking processes, God is pruning away, and some branches are tied up and are being forced to go in a new direction, and it's painful. You want to go this way? And the Lord said, no, I'm tying you over here. And you're just going, ah, I can't take it, the pressure. I know that's kind of a crude illustration, but that's kind of the way the Lord showed me. He showed me these trees that have these branches just going wild in every direction, and they're all twisted and gnarled and messed up. And he's untwisting it, pulling it back. Kind of like little Zim with that plate in his arm. That arm wasn't conforming. It wasn't doing what it's supposed to do. And they put correction in there, and it's painful. I asked him today, you in any pain? He said, a little. I'm sure he's on some pretty good meds, but he's shaping us. See, this new direction goes against the grain of what we've been in our whole life. And to us, that was the norm, even though we hated it and we didn't know why. Why do we not fit in? Why do we feel, we could never stay very long in any of these places. I mean, the last place we were, that solid year we were there, I was in total agony the whole year. And the last time we ever went there, I come out of that and I said, I will never step foot back in this place ever again unless they say, blessed is she that comes in the name of the Lord, because I could not take it anymore. It just totally just rang. I felt like a wrung out dish rag when I would go. Maybe we weren't even supposed to go. I don't know. But it got my eyes open to some things. I knew what I didn't want to do anymore. And that's when we came back in the house. I started to grow. The Lord started to give me stuff. I mean, I'm going from not having anything. I was on TV. And I taught mainly faith. But I'm telling you what, when we come out from that place, stuff just started, bam, dropping on me. They said, we got to get some equipment and record this stuff. See, the Lord had to break me out of the religious, you got to do it this way. This is the way we've always done it. This is the only way you'll ever be anything, by doing it this way. Come up through the ranks and all this stuff. Well, I wasn't doing too good coming up through the ranks. Much less. Now, if I'd have been a man, it might have been a little easier, but I mean, see, God wants to do the molding and the shaping. The religious system is just like the world system. Walking in the Spirit is not the religious system, y'all. It's not. One has nothing to do with the other. Some have a form of godliness, but no power thereof. And others have got the real deal. But we got to get that thinking out of our mind that it has to be this way, because this is what we've been told. It has to be this way. Those olive branches are running all over the place. They need to be trimmed off. God is pruning. He's shaping us and molding us into the image of His Son. Do you really believe what you say to the Lord? Lord, I just want to be everything you want me to be. Then He starts working on you and you're in pain. You want to go, what are you doing? He said, exactly what you asked me to do. You signed up for the process when you said, Lord, do with me what you want. And you're going, you're questioning 24/7. What's going on here? What are you doing? I know you do it, because I do it too. Yeah. All right, there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts in this. All right. It will take as long as those wild mindsets that are profitable are no longer a problem. Yeah. Peter evidently finally got a revelation about this. This is 2 Peter 2. Oh, I just want to be like Jesus. But then when He starts working on you, what? What? You got to pray this all off of me. Please pray this off of me. I just can't take it anymore. I can't. Any more than I can pray it off of me. All right. 2 Peter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Surely you don't think that just going your own way and do it the way you've always done it, that God is going to accept that. Isn't that kind of naive? He has a plan. He knows what you've been through. He knows where you've been. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. See, he was kind of where place where we are today. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. These are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. I mean, I can remember early before, you know, many years ago, trying to talk to a lady. She was in our home group, and she just absolutely just rejected everything I had to say to her, and they didn't come anymore, and I never saw them again. And then one day, years later, I get a note in the mail. And this woman's telling me, I got filled with the Spirit. Somebody else planted a seed somewhere down the line. And she got filled with the Spirit. She didn't believe you needed all of that. And she just was really adamant about that. And so, you know, what do you do? And shall receive the reward of the unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Do you know that if you are going to church and you're just walking in the flesh and you're thinking that that's all there is, isn't that rebellious? The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness. Man, we know about him, right? But he was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, that those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed and are wallowing in the mire. Isn't that what was going on with Peter? What he knew to be right, what the vision was about, what God spoke to him, what he saw with his own eyes, what he witnessed at Cornelius' house, and then all of a sudden, he gets in a company with some Jews, and he starts acting like Jews and starts compromising the brethren. Here we are struggling and trying anything and everything to get this pain off of us, but nothing seems to work. Like with the prophet Balaam, God is standing there and overseeing the whole process. I can just see Jesus standing with the Father as our shepherd. He is hovering and saying to the Father, oh, please don't hurt them. The Father says, relax, I have everything under control. They will be fine. They're going to make it. See, he's our shepherd. And he cares for the sheep. Father says, I have to do this. This is part of the process. He says, I know, but it's hard for me to see. I gave my life for him. The Lord knows where you're at, and he knows what you feel. And it's painful. But aren't we the better for it? The things the Lord showed us. I think a lot of our pain is just the struggle itself, fighting against it. Always trying to get some formula to get it off of us. Well, it's just like with Balaam. There is no formula to get it off. You just have to just submit to the process and let God do his work. He's got to tie up your branches or cut off your branches or do whatever he has to do to get you to where you won't compromise yourself, that you will be sound and he can trust you with his power and with his glory. Isn't that what we want? We want a church with power. That's what we have rebelled against, a church with no power. Now, I've seen a few meetings where they had special people come in that did have some power that showed up. Not many, but a few. God's not going to turn his power loose on someone that has, it's like an unruly child. He is not going to turn his power loose on rogues. You get out there and you start getting compromised and you blow it. Mm-mm. That's why the process takes long, because God is thoroughly pruning and purging, cleaning us up, getting us ready so that we, that's why he does it so slow. It's kind of like the awakening, the way they're doing it. It's just a drip, 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 drip. We're wanting a wave, but a wave won't wake up people. All right, we have to submit to God's chastening. All right, let's keep going. Hebrews 12, we're nearly done. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. That cloud of witnesses are in the previous chapter, and you can read what they did by faith. These were tested, proven, battle-ready people. They went in the fire. They went in the lion's den. They fought the giant. They went into the fiery furnace. How did they do that? They were completely vessels used of God. Where did every weight? That's the pruning process. Getting, laying aside every weight, everything that is compromising you and keeping you from being everything God wants you to be. That's what we're dealing with right now. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Like the dog to the vomit, just going back to the same old thing, because that's what you've always done, and da 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 da, back and forth and back and forth. See, God has to work that out of us to where there's no back and forth anymore. It's like, yeah, we're going in the fire. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. With patience. Oh, I wish you'd hurry up. I want it now. Do it now. See, that's what's happening now. People want it now. I want it now. I want it, full disclosure now. I want everything now, 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 now. But they're not thinking about the whole picture. Everybody. How many people would be lost if they did it that way? Many. One of their biggest things is having a civil war. People taking up arms. That's why they've drifted out so slow. Because if they do that, we will be back where we were in the first revolution. And they want to avoid that at all costs. This is God's plan they're executing. This is the way God works. This is the way He operates. It's not a instant, we're so used to instant everything. Microwave this. Joyce Meyer used to teach microwave maturity, drive-through church. Well, during COVID, they had drive-through church. Not anything against that. It's just people want it now. Give me my quick fix and let me be on my way. There is no quick fixes. It's just sticking with it until God finishes the work. We may always be in some process like this, going from glory to glory. We ought to be looking at it like that instead of going from hell hole to hell hole. Misery to misery. All right, let us run with patience the race is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Don't you just hate it? And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. There's those, them old branches that God is pruning out. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. See, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Isn't that the end game? Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless. Afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So there's a new attitude to where you despise the shame, but you're thankful and grateful that God has taken the time to train you personally and to work out of you everything that's opposed you your whole life. You know why people go back? Because, of course, it's not enough. It's not, you don't go through the pain that you go through changing. They go back because that's all they know, and it's just easy. Well, the walk of faith's not easy. This is not an easy walk. All right, let's three more scriptures. Romans 9. Verse 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? What the heck's going on here? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. See, this is him. He's forming us. He's molding us into vessels that he can use. 2 Timothy 2:20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. See, this is this godly character. See, in the world, you're used to taking care of yourself. Just let her rip sometimes. Sometimes you have to apologize. All right, one more. 2 Corinthians 4:7. I think what the overall thing that the Lord was saying today, it was like a reality check. This is what is going on. So let's knuckle down and let's get this done, and you'll be glad that you did. All right. 2 Corinthians 4:7. For who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? And I'm that's the wrong one. 2 Corinthians, sorry. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, that's the flesh. That's your own thinking processes. It's been laid in there by the world system, the church system, and whatever else. That God is working out of us. Sometimes I think he's burning it out of us. So I hope you'll be encouraged today. At least you'll know where you are. So you won't despise the chastening of the Lord, but you'll embrace it. Because I do believe his grace is sufficient. A lot of it has to do with our attitude.